Thank you, Brother Tommy. Everybody else that participated today, I want to just encourage all of you to remember to encourage our signers that are learning how to help communicate to the deaf. Some of these are our LTC kiddos, and they're getting ready for LTC, which will be on us before we know it. So we're grateful that we have those young people who are training themselves for further service in the kingdom of God. Amen? Great. Well, as you might suspect, I'm a little bit pumped up, having been over in Lubbock, Texas. No, it isn't about Lubbock. Although I love Lubbock as a town, it's a great town, voted the most friendly town in the United States. I don't know if you know that or not. I don't know when that was. It may have been a long time ago, but it may have been last week. They are friendly up there. And Rosemary and I and the Smiths were up there, and we had a fantastic time, a great feast. Maybe some of you saw some of our Facebook posts. It's an impressive thing to watch young people walk down the center aisle with a flag from every nation that the gospel has been taken to, sent out to over 147 of them. And boy, bring a tear to your eye, the tears of joy, knowing that the gospel is being presented. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole church together said, amen. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Jim and Donna, I don't know how many good preaching lessons and teaching lessons we all got to hear. I'm bragging a little bit. We just enjoyed hearing the word getting preached. We heard it so many different times. And I try to be a preacher who's organized and, take care of business. And, you know, if you're away all week, somebody has to write a sermon for me. So I won't reveal who wrote this sermon, but no, I didn't mean someone else wrote it. I did that in advance. And David, you know how tough this is. You know, you write one in advance, and then you go hear about 14 or 15 other ones, and you go, what was that lesson that I prepared? I've been listening to Jim McGuigan, who is a self-proclaimed preacher with Tourette's. Meaning that he can't stay on subject or target or any of those things because he jumps off and goes in other places. And that just might be the case for you today because there's so many things in my brain. I want to share one other thing because I just have to. I'm a grandpa, and I sat next to my granddaughter, who is an AIMS student, and Bailey, as you know, is on her way because you helped support her. From this congregation, that's one of the things our mission committee does, and Bailey is being supported by us to go to the AIM program, and she's being sent along with a team of three other girls, be four of them, that are going to Coleraine, Ireland, and they're going right over there into Jim McGuigan country. And so we had a nice long talk with Jim about that, and he with them, and encouraged them about all of that. But I sat next to my granddaughter, hugging her in the auditorium where I don't know how many people were in there. It's a huge auditorium. It was filled up on the Wednesday evening. And I leaned over and told her, I said, several years ago, your grandmother and I sat in this same auditorium. We didn't have our little kids with us then. I said, but that was a long time ago, and it's a thrilling thing to be sitting right next to you all these years later, knowing that someone else out of our family is going to carry the gospel somewhere else. I just had to say, brag on her about that. I just had to say that. I want to talk to us today from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, and about and about forgiveness. And I want us all to pay close attention to it here in just a minute. But I got a song on my heart, and I want us to sing a song. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 25. Look in your Bible at Psalm 25. Okay? Now sing with me. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Right here in your Bible. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that way on Thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that way on Thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in Thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me Thy ways. Show me Thy ways. O Lord, teach me Thy path. Show me Thy ways. O Lord, teach me Thy path. Oh my God. Oh my God. I trust in Thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Oh, here's the greatest verse. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Amen is right. Isn't it great? We can just pick the book up and go to singing about the Word of God and just help teach other people. That's what it's really all about. If you've got your Bible, Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to be honest with you. I will not finish all of my notes today, and you know, you might say amen to that, because there's a whole bunch of that, and I know we've got a great potluck and a great event happening afterwards, so I'm going to be mindful of that, but I want to say enough to get us started on this idea about forgiveness. I think it is the most misunderstood subject or characteristic, if you will, about God, and most misunderstood by His people, because we struggle so much with it. Read with me. This is found in the book of Matthew. After this manner, the disciples had asked Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. We want to know how to pray. Okay? And so He's giving them what we very often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But He's going to tell them some things about what they should participate in when they're communicating to God. And it'd be all right for you to pray this prayer even today, even though there may be some things in this that we may understand have taken place. But He says, after this manner, therefore pray you. You all pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a great reading. And I know it's a reading that you are familiar with. I just think it's so important that you remember that this is the Lord talking to us. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does the Bible really say about forgiveness? Oh, this topic, Tom, is just so rich and so big, and yet so simple, really. It can be said in a few words, and you're all hoping it will be, you know, somewhere in between there, right? Come on, wake up. It's okay. I'm just having a little fun with you. But forgiveness, how important is it? And what does the Bible say about forgive us or forgiveness? Forgive us our sins, for we, or as we forgive everybody else who sins against us, over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. These are familiar words, I know it is to you. And we're reminded that forgiveness should characterize our life. I want to talk to you about living as a child of God and how important all of that really is, and the many faceted things that the Bible teaches us about how to live for Him. But these few words one might object or might even just observe are a lot easier said than done. Hello, out there? I mean, it's easy to say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive them. But how is it when you're off somewhere and those thoughts come back? Or how is it when you are confronted with, well, maybe the person that needs the forgiveness? It's one of the hardest things to do because, you see, the sins that need forgiving can be so damaging. They wound us. They wound us deeply. And the mere idea of offering forgiveness sometimes to those who have hurt us seems impossible. Forgiveness in these cases appears like letting people off the hook. Hello, anybody with me on that? I mean, do you ever feel that way? I don't know if I can do that. I want to think about this a minute. You know, did anybody say forgive me? And you said, I need to think about it. You know, I'm not done processing. You've been there, haven't you? I've been there. I'm not ready for this. I'm intelligent enough to know that I've been told that that's what's got to happen, but I may not be ready for it, if you know what I mean. I'm just not ready for it. The feelings are still here. The hurts are still here. I'm struggling with it. I know I'm supposed to act a certain way, and yet how difficult it is to get it taken place of. I know you're familiar with a story about Job. And you will recall, I think, if you know anything about that story, that Job's friends were really not that friendly to him. Am I right about that? Have you done any reading about this book? I mean, you'll find out that those friends, I don't know about that. They weren't very friendly to him. In fact, when Job was at the worst of times, his friends judged him, and, well, they griped at him, they criticized him, and they accused him. And more, for Job praying for his friends involved a lot more than asking God to bless those he loved and considered dear. Hey, I don't mind praying for you folks that I love. I mean, I can get down and pray with Miss Rosemary right in a moment and pray about my family because I love them. But now some of you, I'm kidding. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? And yet Job was faced with these very same kind of difficulties. It wasn't until after Job showed grace and kindness to those who had brought him pain during his greatest moments of pain that God restored him. Listen to Job 42. And verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Oh, to be like Job was. I'd just as soon avoid all of Job's problems, okay, Lord? But to be like Job, who finally and was able to pray for his friends. When Job did that, God gave goodness to Job as well. I hope you're listening to me because this is the hem of the garment of this subject. But it is the key to understanding what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And what he does for anybody and every. By the way, who did Jesus die for? Everybody. I thought he just died for the folks I like. You know, I thought he just died for those folks that are halfway nice. Or at least, you know, trying to do good. No, he died for everybody. Whether we like them or whether we don't. And there is so much for us to learn. Learning to wait well with patience involves learning how to put into practice with regularity living as a child of God. It means putting into practice those things that we already know, forgiving, loving, believing, doing what God has asked us to do. Yet, if you're like me, I have my difficulty with this. We all struggle with these kind of things. And in the face of so much brokenness in ourselves and in our world, how should we respond? You know, I've always said that I was proud to be an American. I don't know why I would be. I had nothing to do with it. It was my parents that saw that I got here. I don't know why God thought in all of His mercy and His greatness that me, Bob, would be born in a great nation like America has been. Out of all of the 7 billion people on the earth, that it would be me that would be in that percentage. I don't have the math work ready for you. You do it for yourself. You figure up what the odds are that you would wind up here. I can see that math brain over there going to work. Figure them up. They got to be huge, at least. I'm not even choosing a really good word. But they got to be enormous that you would be brought or born into the place that you were in, that you've had the opportunity to be born in a place where the gospel is preached, where you have the opportunity to hear about Jesus the Christ without fear of your life, and there are people all over the world who would love to be able to hear the message of Jesus Christ and forgiveness. And yet, they're still waiting to hear it. Because you see, that's our responsibility. We're supposed to tell others about that. In fact, the theme of the vision workshop that we just came from was unashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to all men that believe it. Everybody who would believe. To the Jew first, to the Greek, whoever it may be. God's power to save is found in the gospel message. When you look at our nation today, what would you put it in the... You had two categories, a stable and healthy or broken. Which category would you put it in? You see what's going on in our country today, don't you? I don't know if there's a way to bring it down just to one thing, but the only thing I can think of, or the simplest way for me to say it, is it's just sin. It's sin that overtakes people in all many various ways, simply because we cannot seem to agree. We cannot seem to really buy in, Doug, to the idea of what God has said about us, is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We sometimes seem to forget about that when we're making our righteous point. We have areas of brokenness all over our country and all over, why, this audience, I'm sure. Most of us can relate to the idea of the different kinds of brokenness that we have, whether it's an emotional one, somebody's been abandoned by father or mother or wife, family, be ousted of whatever may be. Maybe it's a physical kind of a brokenness where there's been sexual or domestic abuses in a family, or maybe parental neglect of children and their physical needs, or whether it's just been assault or violence. We have that stuff going on all of the time. Spiritual brokenness. A misuse of authority by a church leader who has disappointed you, or rejection or poor treatment from a church family. Sins that might be committed by the preacher maybe even, or even an elder, or someone that we would look up to. These are things that are brokenness. They're sources of brokenness all around us. And then we have the things like financial brokenness so many people face, whether it's they've been stolen from, or somebody has embezzled something from them, or someone has failed to pay a debt or a loan, or an unfair loss of a job or employment, discrimination. The list just goes on and goes on. Socially, we have the name-calling thing, the insults, and it seems like today that that seems to be growing and growing and growing all around us. And the only way we're ever going to take care of that is if we do it ourselves. Forgiveness. Because of so many areas of brokenness. Forgiveness, you see, is needed. And it exists because of sin. Forgiveness is necessary because sin powerfully affects all the areas of our lives. And it's not about just ignoring evil or excusing it or making light of it. On the contrary, forgiveness courageously faces sin and evil. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I hope you will, because sin is real. No one needs to go look very far to see that there is sin all about us. We're born into a world where these harmful patterns of sin persist in our society, communities, even in our churches and families. We may not even be aware of our own contribution to the cycle of sin sometimes, because sin is deceptive. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. This is the Bible in 1 John 1, verses 8, 9, and 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. I know that most of us recognize that sin is destructive. It breaks our communion with God. It destroys our relationship with others around us. Why, even the first human sin brought death into the world for all to suffer the consequences. When somebody dies, it doesn't just affect, you know, the immediate people. It affects everybody around them. Sin is everywhere, and it's destructive. And you need to know, therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, that would be Adam, and death through sin, that would be spiritual death. And in this way, death came to all people because, you see, all people sin. Romans 5 and verse 12. And once you are alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, that's Paul in Colossians 1, verse 21. What causes fights and quarrels among you, writes James, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, and so you kill and you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and so forth. God, you see, takes sin very seriously. Scripture tells us that God is merciful and that He is forgiving, but it also makes it clear that God does not tolerate sin. Doesn't tolerate. God is looking for a people that will follow Him and will begin to understand that doing what God wants us to do is what God is desiring for us. You see, because forgiveness is possible. Now, let's talk about this a minute. I could go on a long time right here, but I promise not to do that. But I want to try to make you aware about how much God loves you. The world wants you to believe that God, well, He's an awesome God. There's no doubt about that. But they want you to think that God is here to punish you. And they want you to think that God is here to limit you. That's really not true. God wants to be your friend. You believe that? God wants to be your friend. He wants to love you. Does He want you to be obedient to His word? Yes, of course. But do you know to what extent that God has gone to be your friend? You know, He told the people in the Old Testament that I will dwell among you. I will live among you. I will be a part of you. Can you imagine that? God, in the heavenly realms, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What do we do? Well, let's make a man. Do what? Yeah, let's make a man. Okay. Let's make him in what image? Our image. Isn't that what they said? Let's make him in our image. They wanted to be among him. They wanted to be part of him. They wanted man to reciprocate that love. I'm trying to say to you today, it really, really, really does not matter where you've been or what you've done. If you're earnest about wanting a relationship with God, He wants one with you. Hello? God wants a relationship with you because He loves you. Now, Sometimes that's hard for us to grasp. I know lots of times people have said to me, I'm waiting on being until I quit doing this thing, or I can stop doing that. When I get better, I'm going to follow God. Well, trust me, that's not going to happen until you start following God. Because you're going to need God's help in order to live like Him and to know about Him. Sure, God takes sin seriously. Yes, God is going to punish those who are in sin. But He doesn't want you to be without His forgiveness. He wants you to have His forgiveness. God's desire is to forgive, and it is Jesus who made forgiveness possible. Jesus said, I'll go. Can you grasp in your own mind that He would say, which one of us is going to become human? I mean, you know, go down there and live with them. Jesus said, I'll go. I've come because God sent me. The Father sent me. I speak because the Father gave me something. Is this right, brethren? God wanted to forgive you. God wants to forgive you. Jesus is the pathway to that forgiveness. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Forgiveness, you see, is available through Jesus Christ. I know I've got a mature audience. I don't mean you're old. I mean you're spiritually mature. So I know you understand most of this. What I want to get across, if I possibly can for today, is that God wants you to recognize that forgiveness is ongoing. As often as you need it, you can't outdo God's forgiveness. You can't use it up. When you are His child, His forgiveness is ongoing. Come on, give me an amen. That's the greatest thing that's ever been said to mankind. That no matter what you've done, when you're in Him, as often as you need it, you think of your stories of forgiveness that you've read in the Bible. You remember Esau and Jacob, don't you? Jacob was afraid to go home because of Esau. But you know what happened, don't you? Esau says, forget about it. We're brothers. He forgave him. In fact, Jacob, whom we normally think of as God's chosen one, and he was, because he's in the seed line of Christ, says to his brother Esau, today I have seen the face of God in you. Esau! Do you look around this crowd and look at folks and say, Paul, I see the face of God in you. I see it in your works. I see it in your love and your devotion to your family. I see it all over. Serving God, loving Him, it's evident. We don't think that way enough, do we, brethren? We don't think that way about ourselves enough, do we? That we're on the pathway of getting ourselves back home with God. And that path is possible because Jesus died for our sin. And if you hear Him and obey Him, it's a guarantee. I didn't say this, the Scripture says it. You should know that this day you have salvation. I don't mean you can't throw yourself or jump off the boat. But I'm saying people who love the Lord, like Jacob loved the Lord, and people who recognized that they needed to have forgiveness over and over again. Joseph, David, the prodigal son. Make up your own list. The stories of forgiveness are long and lengthy. God wants to forgive you. That's the message today. I got lots more to say about forgiveness. We're just touching the hem of the garment about a great subject. But God wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to realize that forgiveness is in Jesus. And you can't keep going off doing your own thing, ignoring Jesus, if you want to be His child. Why don't you come home today and stay there? It's not about church attendance. It's about faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. I don't want you to follow the church. Don't follow the elders or follow the preacher necessarily. Follow the Christ. Do what He says, and you will know forgiveness. I got to cut it off there because I'm getting hungry. Anybody else with me? Can I get an amen? I love you. With all my heart, I love you. I want you to be saved. And I preach to you, not because I've accomplished anything, but because I believe it to be true. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. You can be saved this very moment. You'll come while we stand and sing.